You know what? I think before we play the song, we need to warn everybody that Cartman...
Public service announcement.
Has been.
Cartman is intoxicated.
He pre-gamed. He pre-gamed before the pizza.
As soon as you got to my house, I was like, okay, here we go.
Well, welcome to another edition of the Manstalgia Podcast, a podcast where real guys get together to discuss real issues in a real way. On this podcast, we speak about fact and opinion in an honest way, and this is a show where there are no safe spaces, no crybabies, and facts don't care about your feelings. As always, I'm your host, Fletch Fletcher. I'm a retired cop and the king of useless information. I still have not reached my goal of being declared a suppressive person by the cult of Scientology, and I still have never seen The Notebook. You can reach us on Facebook.com/Manstalgia or on Twitter @ManstalgiaPod and now on Instagram @Manstalgia. Basically, anywhere that you have social media, you just type in @Manstalgia or Manstalgia and you'll get us. You can always email us at ManstalgiaMail@gmail.com. And if you'd like, you can support us through Patreon now, and a one-time donation of $15 gets you a free T-shirt. I know. Gets you a free T-shirt. I'm just saying. We're not selling T-shirts.
Donation, yes.
We're just letting you donate and then sending you a free T-shirt.
Because we appreciate your donation. By the way, if you want to donate more than $15, that is
perfectly
also
fine.
Okay.
That's perfectly fine. And we even have like tiered setups where if somebody donates $100, they can come on the damn show.
I don't see a problem.
And a special shout out to our listener Jessica, who loves mugshots, sexy voice.
Hey.
And sent us an email a while back. Now that our T-shirts are done, for being such a loyal listener, we sent you an email that you can respond to, and we will send you a free T-shirt because you're just a loyal listener.
By the way, Jessica, you're interested in the wrong guy. I'm just throwing it out there.
On this episode, as you can tell, we have a pre-gaming...
The vets are back,
already
baby!
Inebriated Cartman and PA, our crazy veterans, back in the... Do it again?
Yacht.
Kill.
Welcome, veterans. How's it going?
Same old shit, new day.
Yeah, I'm drunk, so it's going great.
Well, any day you're above ground and drunk. Well,
I was going to say, I woke up this morning, I got booze in my cup. Let's do this.
And I've been off narcotics now for 2 days.
Booze. Oh, yeah. How are you after so now here's the thing. Cartman attempted to stop a semi-truck
with
his leg and his face and a motorcycle. Luckily, the motorcycle did the brunt of the work, and his leg only did a little bit of the work, and clearly your face didn't do any of the work.
Well, that's what happens when you have a showy helmet on. You don't skip with your helmets, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, you know what? Shout out to Showy for saving your face.
So, really,
yeah.
It saved his a.
Did you see it yet? Did I show it to you, the helmet?
I can't even saw you at the hospital, ass. I had to move all your shit.
Wait, I know. Are you talking to me? I didn't see the helmet.
Oh, it's in the garage. I'll show you.
I want to see it.
Go. We're going to talk shit about you.
Go.
What is it? A Wednesday?
Who knows what it's going to be when this comes out? But go get it.
Yeah, no. He was in the ER. All I get is a text message, and it says, "Hey, bro, I got into a motorcycle accident. I'm on my way to Mayo."
Which could be like,
and I'm like, goddamn it. To me, it's like, I laid my bike down. No big deal.
Right.
And then I get a text picture from the back of the ambulance taken by one of the guys back there, and he's laid out on a backboard. He's got the collar on. There's three guys in the back.
For the record, you were previous life,
I was a paramedic.
You were a paramedic.
I was a paramedic for 10 years working in the area, and I was – so I know when there's three guys in the back.
This thing did well,
good, right?
Dude.
Yeah, it held up good.
Shout out to Showy because the RF 1200 – dude, you framed this thing.
Yeah.
You know what you should do? You should cut it in half and put it in a shadow box. I'm telling you.
If anybody would like to sponsor that, I'm cool with it.
The Showy RF 1200, Snell approved, Dot approved. Dude, this held up well.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to post it of how well your damn helmet held up.
Yeah, he pretty much just lost the visor and got some scratches. That's about it.
Got some scratches on the back, but other than that, you're good.
Yeah.
So how you feeling?
So now I'm doing okay. One of my really good friends is taking care of me, medically. I get picked up and the first thing I do is notify one of the deputies on scene, One of my Marines is actually a deputy with that department. So
one of your Marines?
Yeah.
From his unit.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So I hit. I told him, I'm like, hey, let this deputy know that it was me. And then when I was in the back of the ambulance, I'm like, hey, do you know PA?
It's pronounced Bambulance.
The Bambulance.
It's Wambulance.
It's a Wambulance.
No. I saw, after looking at that helmet, that's not a Wambulance. Yeah. That's a Bambulance.
Give me a motherfucking Bambulance!
And I asked him, I'm like, hey, do you know PA by any chance? He's like, oh, yeah, I used to work with him all the time. And I was like, do me a favor. Do you have his number? He said, no, he's got him on Facebook. And he let him know what was going on. So my first thought was to let him know. My mom was on vacation, and she lives out of state. And I'm like, don't tell my mom anything until we know what's going on.
Please,
like,
don't tell my mom.
Yeah, I'm not dying. I don't want to ruin her fucking vacation. Because my mom would have hopped on a plane. Like, if I called her right then and said I was just in a motorcycle accident, she would have been on the way to the airport to get on the plane.
Sorry, he's got me, though. So shout out to moms.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, I literally yelled at my wife. I'm like, Carbon's in an accident. Gotta go. jumped in my truck, and I'm hauling butt down to the hospital.
So, and then the next thing I do is I let a group of other friends know that are in a group chat. Had a lot of love and support from pretty much everybody in my network, and it was pretty cool. I got morphine, which is, that shit's great.
Yeah, see, you're in a group. This is how I know you're a millennial. You're looking for love and support from a group chat. Morphine's all the love and support I need. That's all I need.
No. This was before the morphine. This is before the morphine. This is letting my inner contacts know what's going on. The first thing I do is hey, I'm in a TA. I'm headed to a hospital.
If I had been his paramedic, the morphine would have been on board before the doors closed.
You got some Syrettes.
I got
left
this
over.
Shitty group.
I'll put it to you this way. I've taken ambulances out of service because I ran out of morphine.
So then my next text is on the group chat is, don't tell my mom she's on vacation.
Where was she at?
She was in Florida. She was on a much needed
vacation
for a week. Yeah, so.
Did she get mad when she found out that you didn't tell her?
So I told her she flew home that Saturday, and by then I had been home, and I called her, and I was like, hey, mom, what are you doing? I need you to sit down. I got to tell you something.
See, don't start with that.
Yeah, never start with that.
Yeah, but my mom's the kind of girl that she'd probably flip she'd out standing
faint like
up
a black lady in church.
Lord Jesus,
it's possible. So she's like, what? And then I tell her what happened. She's like, you know, I knew all week long something was wrong. And she was like, I appreciate you not ruining my vacation because you are right. I would have gotten on a plane and sat with you at the hospital. And you're right. It would have ruined my entire vacation. I'm also upset that you were in a traffic collision on your motorcycle and didn't tell me immediately. So I'm mad at you.
Balance
and I love
those
you
two
at the
out.
Same, yeah, right? I love you at the same time.
Well, we're glad you're all right. We hope that the guy has insurance because you're going to need a new bike.
It's a commercial vehicle. So
is your dick still work?
Huh?
Does your dick still work?
Yes, but while I was on the opioids, nope.
I told you that was going to happen.
Yeah, but I still tried.
I knew you would. We expect nothing less.
I still tried.
It got weird. Well, we will get to our emails. And this one is an interesting one, and it's going to be one of the longer emails that doesn't matter. They can still hear you when you do that. This is going to be one of the longer emails we've ever had to deal with because I guarantee you.
Is it a complaint?
No, it's not a complaint. Okay. But the one sentence email that I got is going to spawn a 20-minute discussion, guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Is it because of who is in the room, or is it because of what it says? Is it anybody, or is it just because
of us? It's anybody on the Manstalgia podcast. Okay. This is going to spawn a 20-minute discussion. So our loyal listener, Crew Jones, he emailed us.
He's an asshole for asking this question. Yeah.
He says, guys, I saw Buster post an article about the circle game on the Facebook page, and I was thinking you might provide us with the official rules for the circle game, to which I immediately thought to myself, there really aren't official rules to the circle game.
Because no, there are.
Number one, it's not called the circle game.
No, it's not.
Hence, it takes us to our first point of contention.
Yeah.
It's called ball gazer.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the circle game.
No. It's
called ball gazer.
Dude, no.
Okay.
Listen here, old man.
So
it
hold
is evolved.
On. Hey, time out.
It is evolved.
I'm going to go.
Boot. Okay. I was playing the game while you were still playing with G.I. Joes, all right?
All right. Yeah, so here's what I'm going to say. All right. I went on to Urban Dictionary, and I looked up Circle Game / Ballgazer, and it does go by both. And I will
suck
give you
it.
Wait, hold on. I will give you my rationale for never ever calling it the Circle Game. But first, according to Urban Dictionary, the game starts
according
out,
to Urban Dick.
Yeah, the game starts out with the offensive player creating a circle with their thumb and their forefinger, like the OK signal, but upside down. The game is you trick another person into looking at the symbol on your hand upside down, and if the victim looks at the hand and the hand is below the waist, he has lost and subsequently deserves a hit on the bicep with a closed fist by the offensive player. Number one, the player's hand with the circle must be below the waist. Number two, the victim should attempt to see the circle without looking down. In other words, using your peripheral vision and then saying nope. Or if the victim does not look down, then he says, I'm not looking at that. And you have successfully defended. If the victim does not look down at the signal and instead the victim quickly pokes his finger through the offensive player's circle and break up the circle, he wins and he gets to then hit the offensive player. Right. Basically,
we never played it. You had to break the circle. Mine was you had to poke the circle without them catching your finger.
No, you have to poke the circle and break it.
Oh, yeah. No, it was always like
negative. You just got to get it in and out.
You just get it in and break it. But
if you grab the finger while it's in Thailand, you get two hits. But I mean, in the U.S., it's
no. So you break the circle, you get to hit the other guy back. Mm-hmm. You try and break the circle, get your finger grabbed, you get one hit for trying and two hits for another hit for failing. So you get two hits for failing, basically.
Don't forget the one for flinching.
No, because there's no flinching. That's a different game. That's a different game.
So, no, those are all, those are
so basically the boil it down to the basic rules of the circle game, or as it's properly called, ball gazer.
Circle
you
game.
Make an okay shape with your hand,
everybody,
thus
everybody at
making
home.
A ball.
Everybody,
hence
at, yeah,
ball gazer.
Everybody at home.
You are simulating a testicle.
But a ball is a spherical object.
No, you're simulating a testicle.
No.
You then put
it
that
is a,
testicle.
No, don't try and
shut
over-talk
the fuck
me.
Up.
I
you
will get louder.
Watch this. Oh, look, I can mute your mic. That doesn't matter. Nobody's going to hear you. So you make the testicle below your waist. You make the testicle below your waist. They look at it. You punch them for being
a ball gazer.
If they break it without looking at it, then you're the ball gazer for making them look. Try, you know, and then they get hit.
They turn you into Kevin Spacey.
Exactly. You're telling me
no, that's
that
not how
subsequently,
it works.
As your millennial ass has grown up, you have started to adapt the rules to ball gazer. Now, go ahead and tell us the new adapted millennial ball gazing rules.
Go ahead.
Oh, now you want to be quiet.
No, that's because I want to hit you.
Yeah, that's fine. But I didn't.
All right. So the rules as they should be played is one, it is not a ball. A ball is a sphere. That's not a sphere. That's a circle.
Neither is your testicle, but we still call it a ball, you fuck.
It's a sphere, right? That's not a sphere. That's a circle. Okay. Circle game. Second, all you got to do is get your finger in and out.
Nope.
Must be below your waist.
Okay.
It does not matter how far away from your body it is.
Oh, no, that's not true.
It does not matter how far away.
He thinks you can lean it way out, like 3 feet away from your body and get it. No,
it has to be within
proximity of your freaking meat and potatoes to count as ball gazing.
Maybe in your pussified version.
No.
But in the hardcore
rules. OG
rules,
version.
Yeah,
no. Okay.
Hey, Fletch, you got to remember, the millennials at this point,
they don't know everything.
Well, they don't know what sex they are at this point. So how do they know where the fuck a ball looks like?
Oh, that's true. You can't call it ball gazing because you don't even know what gender you are.
Exactly. That's why they've altered
it. It's non-specified genitalia gazing.
Okay, so they really need to also work on these generations because I should not be called a fucking millennial. Okay.
Oh, what are you, Generation Z?
I was born in the fucking 80s. I shouldn't be called a
millennial.
No, they need to change it.
Yeah, you're a millennial.
The cutoff for millennials is actually 83.
There's a weird in between generation they're trying to make up to make the kids born in like 81 and 82 feel better. But you just can't do it. You can't make up a micro pocket generation of only like 5 years just because you don't want to be.
I don't want to be looped in with these snowflakes.
I get it, bro.
It's because the kids. So what they're trying to alleviate is the kids that were still allowed to go.
You were still allowed to be the latchkey kids. Right. You were allowed
to
go play outside, ride your bike, stay out till the streetlights came on. But You remember email, the internet, texting, paging, all that stuff. And I get it. I totally get it. But no. Especially when you start changing the rules to a great traditional game like Ballgazer.
In that case, you got to lump me in with the millennial generation at that point.
I know, probably.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. He says, sorry, not he. Cartman says, because we're on a podcast.
Yeah, you point your finger.
I pointed to you. It's an audio show. Audio I'm show. The dumbass on that one. Cartman says you can actually like make a giant circle with your arms from a distance to get a whole group of people.
Yeah, that's like a fucking artillery barrage, dude. You're going for a group at that point.
And
oh, yeah.
And then he also says if somebody texts you a picture of their hand doing the ball gazing below the waist, that you can then text a picture back of you looking up and it doesn't count.
But it depends. If you're actually, so if it's just the circle indicating it's below the waist, right?
See, if then, you text them a picture of that, then you have the only the only punch you can get is a text picture of a fist.
Shut up.
So
no.
I think here's what we...
Let me get to what I was getting at. So if they just send you that, you're obviously going to look at it doesn't count, right? So you can counteract that. But if they send you another picture where you're actively looking through the photo trying to figure out what the hell it is, and then they got you, that's legit.
What?
So
how would somebody? Never mind. I don't want to know.
No.
So,
yes, you did. Because,
I think here's what
because
we all
somebody
can agree
sent
on.
You one. We talked about it earlier.
Yeah, we did.
That and, one counts.
But I told you it counted because I looked.
Okay,
I deliberately
well,
looked. But there's no like.
That's what I'm getting at.
You look at it in the picture. You're done. So, but here's the thing. It's never been when the game was invented, there was no texting. So all these adapting.
When fire was invented, there were no lighters.
Correct.
We still use fire. Okay,
so when you adapt a game for texting, then you got to make some new rules. I get it. Fine. But I think what we can all agree on, and here are the basics. Number one, typically guys, but God, I love girls. My wife, Mrs. Fletch, got an entire party just 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
And all the guys, drunk ass guys, looked at my wife and went, oh, are you married? Oh, you're savage. I love you. She's like, sorry, boys. Fuck off. And she walked away. So I couldn't be more proud of my wife that way.
That's awesome.
So here's what we can agree on. Number one, whether it's called Ball Gazer or the Circle Game, which, according to Urban Dictionary, both are acceptable. And I still have not told you why you shouldn't call it the circle game. But technically, both are acceptable. That's the first thing. The second thing is, has to be below the waist. Period. End of story.
Yes, definitely.
Third, the hand gesture is first finger,
okay.
Thumb, making a circle, yeah. In the OK symbol. Can't be right side up. Has to be upside down or sideways or something like that. Has to be
limp wrist.
Has to be inverted, yeah. Something like that.
Limp wrist or you're throwing up a gang sign. But
right,
you can't.
You
can't. You
cannot.
Yeah.
You cannot do a regular okay sign below the waist. It doesn't count. Third, if they look, they get hit, and in some cases, the offensive player should wipe it off like a gentleman.
Yeah,
should.
Yeah.
And third, is that if somebody breaks the circle or gets their finger in and out in some way, shape, or form, that it's a solid defense and you don't get punched, right?
Okay.
So basically, those are the rules.
No,
that's it.
I don't think you have to break
every,
circle.
It's, the rest of it, I just said it either.
I'm drunk.
But other than that, it's like Monopoly, house rules.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I agree.
If everyone in the game
see,
doesn't agree on the rules, then
all rules go.
Well, no. In my unit, we no longer, we didn't punch the arm. It was, you got sacked. If you looked,
oh.
if you got caught ball gazing, you got sacked.
Right.
And then somehow I came and I met Cartman, and next thing I know, he's like, and I'm like, I'm expecting to get hit in the nuts. He punched me in the shoulder. I'm like, that's hilarious.
Wait, when you said you get sacked, I thought you meant like football, but you're talking about you get a sack tap.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I'm you lost me on that one because I'm with you. It's always been in the shoulder.
Oh, no.
Okay, so.
Or the bicep.
No, because I also will aim for the thigh.
Oh, I can
oh,
see that.
Oh, yeah, that's but a good one. Especially when people think they're about to get it in the arm and you give them a nice
see,
good one
for
right
me,
in
the
thigh.
The only
oh,
time
good.
It's acceptable, the only time that like you can legitimately get somebody in the sack and not face consequences for it is if they answer the question, what's the capital of Thailand?
Bangkok!
That's like if you knock another guy in the dick or you knock another guy in the balls, period, you have opened up all-out warfare, with the exception of you say to somebody, what's the capital of Thailand? If they say Bangkok, you give them a little backhand right in the dick, give them a log splitter, you know, separate the twins
separate
with
the
Big
boys.
Jim. And there's nothing they can do to retaliate because they're the ones that answered the damn question. That's just the rules. But if you just tap somebody in the sack without provocation, then it's all out warfare.
That's a dick four.
I'm not going for that one. That we invent again. My generation invented that one. Wait, have you heard of this? I can't even say it. There's a Japanese like ball gazer, Bangkok type game. But what they do is they put their hands together and then stick out their index fingers this, and they try and poke their friend in the asshole. And that's the game is to try and stick your two fingers clasped together up another dude's or girl's asshole.
Oh my God, I'm gonna start doing that to everyone.
No,
that's a bridge too far. That is a bridge too far.
I like how PA looks at me. No. And he's like, "Fuck, he'll do it."
No,
you will do it. I have no doubt that you will do it.
100%.
I am sorry that I gave him,
dude. He's gonna. And the thing is, he'll do it to random strangers. That's the problem. It's not that.
That's what makes it funny.
He'll straight come up and be like, "No,
Japanese,
no
finger ass,
the dolphin."
Game. Yeah. Oh no, the dolphins. That's when a girl gives it to you though. Concho. Kancho. Concho.
Yeah.
A game played by Japanese school children under the age of 12 where they poke their fingers in an unsuspecting ass.
The Japanese military plays it. Just go over to Okinawa.
That's fantastic. All right. Moving on. Crew Jones, I hope we answered your question. Those are the acceptable rules or the basic rules for Ballgazer. The rest is like Uno.
Will we be posting that on the Mansalgia Facebook page?
The official rules?
The official rules.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Okay. The agreed upon rules. The three agreed upon rules. Below the waist, make the okay sign upside down, and somebody gets hit if they look. That's basically
anything beyond that is house rules.
Anything beyond that is house rules. So below the waist, make the circle. If you look, you get hit. Period. All right. Words from Grandpa. I didn't, because we have the veterans here, go ahead. Nobody's going to, you can just announce you need a drink.
I'm out of alcohol. Yeah. That's not acceptable.
You're right. Your glass has at least one hole in it that I know of. So I decided to forego the words from Grandpa and go with words from my training officer. So you could also there's a Instagram I think account, Shit My Drill Sergeant Said.
Yep. Absolutely. Hilarious.
Follow it. It's fantastic.
I don't need to follow it. I lived it.
So shit my it's SMDSS. Shit my drill sergeant.
I can say right now. My drill instructor from when I was in boot camp. Yeah, everyone remembers your drill instructor.
Right.
So my drill instructor, I had four. But the one that will be known is Gunny Popovich. So he ended up actually running for office in San Diego.
Good for him.
And that was after he was in the Times after the invasion. He was a tanker, so he was seen like just smoking a fatty cigar, like with his tanker helmet,
sitting
just
on
like,
top of the tank like a boss.
Yeah, no, the guy was a gorilla. When we were in boot camp, we used to say that this guy's invincible; like nothing will ever take this guy out.
Right.
So this, and mad props to Gunny Pop because mine like a freaking steel trap. He actually ended up taking two RPGs to the dome. Now, for those who don't know, RPG is a rocket-propelled grenade. He took them to the dome. He got hit in the head.
And also, I want to just clarify, it's not a bazooka.
No, not
it's not a bazooka.
No, not a bazooka.
Don't if you see a tube with a nice, beautiful piece of wood and a fluted butt end and a pistol grip sticking down,
and then a weird football shaped thing
on the end. Typically,
you know what it reminds
the Chi-Com, Russia, all the terrorists. If you see that, it is an RPG. It's not a bazooka.
Is the freaking the Nerf.
Nerf football.
Exactly. So anyway, so he took two of these, right? One actually hit his head, did not explode. The other one passed his head and exploded on the other side. He lost one eye, shrapnel through to the other eye, so he's blind.
This is a great story. Thanks for uplifting me.
Oh yeah, no problem.
Shit.
I ran into I'm in San Diego, right? And me and my buddy, we go into this bar, and I walk in and I look and I'm like, holy crap, it's Gunny Pop. And I said it out loud, and I hear,
I know that voice.
And I'm like, oh, shit. Because the last thing you want to do is be remembered by a drill instructor.
Nope.
And he goes, I know that voice. You're one of mine. I'm like, oh, crap.
Yes, sir.
No. He straight remembered. This is, and understand, I went through in 2000. So this is 2000 and, I want to say 2007, 2008-ish, somewhere in there. And he remembered me.
Right.
So that's like seven or 8 years later. No, it was totally cool. He remembered who I was. He remembered my entire graduating class. Got to sit down, have a beer, bought him a beer. It was awesome. Gunny Pop was like, read his story. He put a book out.
Okay. What's the book called?
I gotta look it up.
God damn it. Look it up while we go on to the next segment. You can jump in and tell us. So Gunny Pop, good on you. Thank you for serving and thank you for training PA and giving him enough training to be with us. But we're going back to the segment, which is tonight. It's words from Grandpa. It's actually words from my training officer. So when I was a young, fresh faced, wet behind the ears rookie, a boot trainee, even, I had a mentor who told me never allow a fortuitous outcome to justify poor tactics and a bad plan. And I will tell you that I picked this one specifically because I saw this incident at the Waffle House, I guess it was, where an unarmed person attacked and subdued an armed person. And I'm going to tell you right now that I applaud that man's bravery, and I'm stoked that he was that brave of a man that he was willing to assault an armed assailant as an unarmed person. And all these people are pointing, see, you don't need a good guy with a gun to stop a bad guy with a gun. Yes, but the gun helps. Because in that case, he was lucky, not good. He was brave, but he was also lucky. So all you people looking at this guy who attacked a dude with a gun, but he was unarmed, and said, well, see, look, he won. Well, now you're letting a lucky outcome justify bad tactics and a poor plan. Just because it works out one time doesn't mean you should continue to do it over and over and over and use your bad judgment and your shitty plans and be like, yeah, but I'm not dead yet. It worked out just fine. Because it doesn't have to work out one time. That's when it doesn't have to work out.
Exactly.
Just one time. One time it doesn't have to work out, and you're fucking dead. The book you just handed to me is Once a Marine, an Iraq War Tank Commander's Inspirational Memoir of Combat Courage and Recovery by Nick Popadich with Mike Steer, co-writing. So if you want to read about Gunny Pop, which clearly comes from Popadich, yep. You can read this book, and apparently it's a good read. It's on Amazon.com. Yeah. So
you really do want
Gunny Popadich.
Remind me, I'll put that on my list. I've finished a few books this week in my time off.
You don't know how to read. Oh, audiobooks. Okay.
No, I actually
Audible.com.
Legitimately, I read a lot. So what? Fuck.
He's
you.
All defensive. He's like,
I was like, you know, it's, you
know,
it's
I
a
know
lot
how
of
to read good.
I done read. Good.
So, did you guys hear that? I'm sure you did when you were serving in your training officers and stuff would tell you, don't allow a lucky outcome to justify your shitty plan. It's same thing as
if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Right. Yeah. Or a decent plan right now is better than a good plan tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So,
snake eyes.
Let's see. We're going to now head onto our page. And since I had you guys on, the veterans, because you guys have stuff to say about this issue, I would call this one of our gun episodes.
Goody, 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 goody.
Guns have been in the news a lot lately. And although we don't get political, we do get constitutional.
Oh, yeah.
On this show. Because
especially
all,
being veterans.
It's a podcast, and that's our First Amendment. Right?
We're going to exercise our First Amendment by demonstrating the second.
So.
Well, the second protects the first.
The first thing I wanted to talk about is from our Facebook page. There's an article I posted from Tactical Shit that is about Yeti ditching the NRA.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys see this?
Did you see all the videos of the
people chainsawing their Yetis in half?
Oh, no, no. Oh, great. No. They're gun owners. They did it better than that. They poured gasoline inside of them, strapped some
Tannerite
to it. Oh, I'd
be there's some Tannerite video. Yeah.
A little Tannerite, some gasoline. Those are good videos. Long-distance shots.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Clearly, Yeti doesn't understand their demographic. and who their product appeals to.
Not at all.
Well, right?
Not one day.
Well, I mean, you know, the owner of Camping World said that anyone that voted for President Trump, he doesn't want their business.
Oh.
Which I'm like, you do realize you own that Camping World,
millennials,
right?
And Democrats don't camp.
Like you don't own the pot smoking drum circle
right
store. That's not your
right
thing.
You don't own REI.
Yeah.
Right. REI can say Trump supporters don't shop here. And Trump supporters go, we don't shop there.
Yeah, don't, you're good.
But Camping World, that Yeti clearly doesn't understand their demographics. So there are videos out there of Yeti owners who are also Second Amendment supporters and NRA supporters who are destroying their Yeti equipment. And hey, there's lots of tumblers out there that aren't Yeti. My tumbler that I use is not Yeti, and it works so much better.
Shout out
Hydro Flask.
Hey, do they support? You got a little weird dude there.
But. Yeah, they're on like the GovX site.
Okay, yep. All right. Yep. There you go. So Hydro Flask, if you're out there and you're looking for a Yeti alternative for the tumbler, there's also an ice chest alternative or a cooler alternative. I think it's Rhino or something. I have to look it up.
There's Arc'teryx too, but I think they're currently in a lawsuit. I think they're getting sued. No, Arc'teryx is somebody else. No, it's Arctic.
Arctic.
Arc'teryx is a completely different brand.
Oh, okay.
But it's Arctic.
I think it's Rhino. Rhino coolers. Please, Pete's doing our fact checking because. PA is doing our fact checking because Fuzzy is not here to do our typical fact checking. There is a company that is making, you know, a good vacuum sealed cooler that can compete with Yeti, and they're not being a bunch of dickholes.
Someone's
Rhino made.
See, Rhino made.
Someone's going to step into the space and take all of Yeti's business.
And Rhino made, if you want to start supporting the NRA, and it wasn't even like they were pushing an agenda. It was their education, their firearms educational programs that they stopped supporting, and they did it with no warning, no explanation, other than we're like dicks, you know, which should now be referred to as pussies sporting goods because they have no dick.
Yeah.
Did you hear they dicks just destroyed all those guns?
Uh huh.
Just destroyed them.
Oh yeah.
I was trying to figure out where they were doing it at because I was going to show up and take their guns by
force.
Dude,
I'm telling you, it's like when the police departments have to destroy all the weapons they confiscate. It's
painful.
I have seen ridiculously expensive collectible relic antique weaponry that is irreplaceable just dumped into the ocean.
Ridiculous. So they think that the destroying weapons or outlawing weapons is going to stop the whole thing. Absolutely not. And I have a video to show you.
No, because people know how to make explosives.
No. People know how to make fire. They know how to make firearms. There's no
point. So what's the video, and then we'll watch it.
It's this guy that actually made a MAC-10.
Let's watch it.
Yeah.
So if you can make a MAC-10 out of bed parts.
So I guess this gets to my point that it makes people all the time is, you can destroy as many firearms as you want to,
right?
But you can't destroy the knowledge.
Right? That knowledge is the point. We don't need gun control. We don't need anyone going after the Second Amendment. Right. What we need is gun education.
Well, okay.
And we used to have shooting classes and shooting gun safety classes in school.
We used to have toy guns.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You let a kid play a video game where they get to shoot and kill people with a digital gun, but then you don't actually teach them respect for a real gun. It creates this disconnect where all they think of it, the guns are just this hyper kind of reality where, you know, you can shoot people, but there's no real consequences. No. Take a kid out and put a watermelon or a cantaloupe in front of him and have him point it down. Take him out hunting and have him actually take an animal that he's going to eat, because I'm not a big sport hunter guy. I don't denigrate people that are sport hunters, but I prefer if you're going to take animals that you eat them.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's one of the reasons I don't hunt deer. I'll hunt boar all day long because bacon tastes good. Yeah. Sausage tastes good.
Pork like venison?
Tastes good. But venison.
Really?
No, I'll eat venison, but I'm not a huge venison guy. Okay. It's a little gamey for me.
Okay.
So I don't typically. I'm not going to kill a whole deer to eat one piece of venison.
I'm going to bring you with me so that I can just have your tag.
That's fine. I'm down.
You'll get more tags.
No. Here's
will.
The deal. Here's the deal.
True.
I'll kill it, and you can have it.
No. I'm going to kill it.
No.
Your tag on it.
No.
No, because you're not going to eat it.
I do want to go. It's like coyotes. I'll take coyotes. They're terrible. There's, you know, varmints. They're predatory animals. You know,
well, especially out here in California, they're destroying the ecosystem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can hunt them year round out here.
It's, you're not even hunting them. You're exterminating yeah. them because they're overpopulating and causing a nuisance.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually,
well, that's
you know
how
what
boars
else?
Are in Texas.
You know what else they need to open up the season on in California, and they won't ever. But
illegals.
You are drunk.
Wow.
No, mountain lions.
Yeah.
Well,
the mountain lion population is surging and it has been for several years. And
funny story about that.
They need to issue tags for mountain lions because they don't have as many natural predators or as many natural enemies as they used to.
So I got a funny story about that. So I'm driving down the freeway. This is back when I was working. I was in the ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a CHP cruiser. We're like, oh, crap. All right. He's got the lights on. And it's an accident. So we're first on. So we're like, all right, we got to stop. So we turn the lights on, stop, and go check it out. What happened? The guy's got, you know, small cut to his head, and he's driving a Prius. So there's your first problem.
Yeah. I'm gay.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, there was.
If you want to hate mail that first Prius gay joke, you can write to Jeff Dunham because that's his joke.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was.
I'm gay.
So that was his first problem. And I'm like, all right. So I'm like, what happened? He goes, I don't know. I was driving, and then all of a sudden this giant freaking thing jumped in my car. I was like, what the hell? The entire front of the Prius is fucked up. And so I go to the CHP guy. I'm like, hey, what happened? He goes, dude, he hit a freaking mountain lion. He hit a mountain lion? He goes, yeah. He was crossing the freeway, took it out.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, no shit. Where is it? He goes, ran away. Like,
yeah.
No. Because this car is fucked up. It ran away. He goes, yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, I've heard jokes about this before, but no. It was a squirrel. I'm like, that's pretty funny. Uh-huh. That is a big cat.
Yes. We had somebody hit a bear. They had to post bear crossing. You know how you go down to Mexico?
That is a horrible place.
You go down
bear
to San Diego,
cross.
And they have the people crossing, the humans crossing the freeway signs.
With
so where I used to work as a cop, they put those same crossing signs, but it was a big bear with two little baby bears because we had bears up there, and they would cross the freeway, and you had to watch out because you'd kill a baby bear. You wouldn't kill no
bear.
You wouldn't kill no grown-up bear. That grown-up bear would just get mad.
Did you guys hear that one lady that called in, and I think it was in Alaska?
Yes.
About the elk crossing?
Yes.
Can we link that to this episode?
I will link it.
Because
elk crossing.
That is my favorite phone call ever.
I don't know why they would make the elk cross here.
Why would they make the cross?
Anyway. Well, you know what's funny is
that note, did you know it is in Alaska, it is illegal for two elk to cross the road at the same time?
Did you know it's illegal to look at a moose from an airplane?
Who made these laws?
Did you know that in California it's illegal to grow a chicken in a glass bottle?
In Florida, it's illegal to molest an alligator.
In Arkansas, it's legal.
I can see that
to beat your wife with an open hand on the first Monday of the month.
Jeez,
we all need to move.
Oh yeah, yeah. So,
all right, we're way off topic.
No, but
what were we talking about?
No, I was going to tell you. So, hitting
like
animals,
beating my wife, guns. That's what it
is. All right, so the next one I wanted to talk about is the video that I posted of the greatest way to get thrown out of a bar in the history of getting thrown out of bars. Is the only way to actually get physically thrown out of a bar and still maintain your dignity. Did you guys watch it?
Was it the Mexican guy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The cholo getting thrown out of the bar. I don't know if he's Mexican, but he was a cholo for sure.
No,
cholo power, dude. That guy.
He's the dude from
Cholo Fit.
Cholo Fit.
Cholo Fit.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know Cholo
Fit? You haven't
Fit?
Seen Cholo Fit?
No.
Music.
Play the music.
Cue the music. Creeper.
I hope he legitimately got thrown out of the bar, but was doing a bit in character, because the dude who was going to punch him looked like he was dead serious.
Yeah,
he looked like he was playing a prank, and that's why the guy was filming it. And I don't care, because it was hilariously brilliant. Yeah. But now that I've seen that, I'm going to share that with Fuzzy, our resident Hispanic on the podcast, because he's going to love it. That Cholo Fit is fantastic. Well, you're also our next guest Hispanic.
I'm straight up Cuban.
That's right. So
I'm Cuban B.
We don't actually have a Mexican. We have a Cuban and we have a South American on the podcast. Yeah. So, orale, vato. That's
Mexican.
That shit is funny as hell. Yeah. Okay, so the cholo get thrown out of, it's Mexican judo. Right.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Judo know if I got a knife.
Judo
know
if
I got a gun.
Yeah.
Judo know if I got three friends around the corner waiting to kick your ass. Okay. Mexican judo. All right. So we had some deaths, notable deaths.
Oh no!
And cue the new notable death music. And I know you guys aren't up to speed, but the new notable death music is fine. When the cream sounds great.
Nice. Nice.
All right. So the first one, we didn't cover it last week because it happened the day we podcasted, and so we missed it. But I wanted to give a special shout out. I don't know if you guys know who Harry Anderson was. 65 years old, actor, comedian, and magician.
Night Court.
He was on Cheers. He started out Cheers.
But he played the judge on Night Court. That's
right.
With so, Bull and
right. So he started out on Cheers as Harry the Hat, and he was doing his magic and his comedy. Right. And they loved his character so much, they offered him Night Court as the judge. And then he did that for a long, long time. And then he played Dave Barry on Dave's World. He had a stroke, man. He just stroked out in his sleep. I guess he had some heart issues, and he had the flu, and he was probably coughing a little too hard and fucking stroked out. So I loved Night Court, man. I thought
Bull?
He was hilarious.
Bull was hilarious.
Roz.
Dan Fielding.
Oh, yeah. John Larroquette.
John Larroquette. That was where I knew him from. And then I used to see him.
So
and I was
good.
I'm like, it's Dan Fielding.
And so many people, if you go back and watch that show, so many people got their start on that show. If you watch Star Trek: The Next Generation, the guy who played Data,
that was him,
the android.
Yeah,
no, he played a recurring character on that show. He was always being hauled into court. He was like a poor redneck dude that just kept getting hauled into court.
Yeah. Data died?
No.
Oh, I have no.
You
idea
are
what
drunk,
that says.
Harry
I,
Anderson.
No, I have no.
You
idea.
Never watched Night Court.
I never watched any of these shows.
You never watched Cheers?
Nope.
Oh, shit. You are a millennial.
Oh, that's right, dude. I'm sitting in class the other day. I'm sitting in class the other day, and my teacher was very, very monotone, like Ben Stein. So I just immediately went, Bueller.
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 Everyone in the class looked at me like I was freaking
from Mars.
Mars. Yeah. Oh. Except for the one dude next to me that also happens to be in his mid-30s, and he starts cracking up.
Exactly.
And I'm like, thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
He's like, win Ben Stein's money. You're like, no. So the next one. Vern Troyer, a.k.a.
I shall call him Mini-Me.
A moment for Mini-Me. Okay, 49 years
little,
old.
Little small moment.
Just a small moment.
Yeah, well, no, he only gets a, he gets like a, he's like a third of a moment. And once again, if you get
did you
pissed,
see him on the
if you guys get pissed about those midget jokes, and you're a midget,
being a pissed,
and you want to send us hate mail, and you can reach the keyboard, you can send it to menstalgemail
at gmail.com. Or you can mail it to us if you can reach the mailbox.
Yeah, it's very little envelope.
Did you see the? Did you see that B-list?
I couldn't read it anyway because the writing's so small.
Did you see the reality show he was on, the B-list or whatever?
No.
So he was on a reality show with like some chicks from Baywatch and Ron Jeremy was on one series.
Oh, so two midgets.
Yeah. So he's
Ron Jeremy. Yeah.
So he had his little cart. Whatever it is,
Okay,
dude,
so
he'd get drunk and he'd be naked on it and he'd go in the corner and start peeing on
like as fuck.
Dude, he would start peeing on a freaking plant.
He was alcoholic as fuck. Like, oh, and it sounds like he committed suicide actually.
Probably.
Because the statement was Vern had his issues. He had his demons. He was trying to get clean. And some battles you win, some battles you lose.
Yeah, they never really came out and said he offed himself or
right. So it sounds like Vern Troyer. And I'm going to use this chance to do the same thing I do every time we talk about suicide, especially sitting here with two veterans and being a retired cop.
Yep.
If you have an issue,
22 day.
If you feel like you're alone,
it's probably like 40. Honestly,
is it now?
There was 22 states that didn't even report.
Yeah.
And they came with that number.
Just get help. Talk to somebody because it is a permanent solution to a temporary problem, and you can literally go and talk to people and read interviews with people who have jumped off of bridges to kill themselves and have survived. And to a person, they will all say, "The first thing I thought after I jumped was, I wish I had never done this." So,
yep.
You know, just it's a temporary solution to, or it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. So get some help and talk to somebody.
I'm getting help right now.
Good. You're
when
help
I went
under
down
the table from Cartman, maybe.
No. legitimately, I'm going to the VA and I'm seeing a psychiatrist.
Good. That's the other thing. You're okay with talking about that. I dealt with my issues when I was going through retirement and all that stuff, and I went and saw somebody.
I remember we used to talk.
Yeah. If you're having those issues, go see somebody. It's not sometimes your friends are great, but they're just going to try and boost you up and tell you things you want to hear. Sometimes you need to hear tough things.
I'll tell you right now, the best thing you can do, and this is coming from a veteran, that we are told, you know, strength above all
suck
else, and yes,
a
big cup of SIU.
Suck
and
it up.
So the hardest thing is to actually give in and go and talk to somebody.
Yep.
And the first step for me was talking to my friends.
Right.
Not my friends, not my civilian friends, but my brothers.
Right.
Right? And you talk to find that one dude that you like, Cartman.
You and me.
Yeah. Right. Somebody that's been through some shit.
Right.
That you know has been through some shit. And be like, dude, I got to talk. I guarantee no one's going to laugh at you. No one's going to look at you funny. No one's going to. They're going to sit down and be like, all right, dude, what's up?
Yeah.
And lay it out. This is really bothering me. What is it? All right, well, this is what happened. I don't know. I just can't. This is what's going on with me right now. I don't know what's bugging me, but this is how I'm feeling.
Right. And sometimes just talking about how you're feeling is enough, and sometimes it's not enough, but it is a start, and it starts to break open the cork on the bottle of all the things that you haven't been dealing with. So as much as you don't want to, as much as you might feel weak, as much as you might feel stupid, as much as you might feel misunderstood, or as much as you're afraid of looking dumb or like a freaking potato chip or all these other things that they always program into you, it doesn't matter. Guy, girl, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, cop, firefighter.
Civilian. Yeah.
If you are dealing with issues and you feel like you need to commit suicide as the only solution, just talk to somebody, because talking to somebody is the first step. It may not fix everything, but it's a damn good start.
Look, I'm going to take that one step further. I found out, I got two things and then I'm done. I found out over the weekend that we lost one of the guys that I went to Iraq with to suicide. He was having some issues, couldn't deal, and decided to stop it. So that was rough. I don't want to see that anymore.
Right.
I don't want to see any of my brothers going down because they can't let it out. It's like, let it out. Don't let it build.
Right.
It's going to pop. but before that, before I stopped being a paramedic, I'm technically still a paramedic. I'm just not acting as one right now. But when I was still working, one of my old partners, actually, I got called out for a jumper. And I was like, oh, okay. This will be interesting. I go out. I'm sitting there, and the deputy comes out, and he goes, person used to work for your company. I'm like, oh. They tell me the name, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's my old partner.
Right.
And they're like, do you think you can talk them down? I'm like,
I'll try.
My supervisor's standing right there. And I looked at my supervisor. I'm like, can I? Is that okay? And he's like, you think you can talk them down?
Right.
Go. I'm like, all right. So I run up the hill, and I go up onto the bridge, and I'm like walking out, and I'm like literally like hugging the fence, and I'm on the bad side. Like, I finally looked, I grabbed a hold. I'm like, you go, we go. I'm like, it's not that bad, I guarantee you. I'm like, I'm here, we can talk. I'm like, you have my number, call me, you need help, whatever. I don't know what you're going through, but whatever it is, it's not this bad.
Yeah, I'll know what you're going through when you talk to me. So just talk to me.
So, able to pull them over, and still dealing with their demons, still going through some stuff, but you know, it's like,
but it's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
So I completely 100% agree. And I think that we're not going to, this is why I actually want to do an offshoot cast with you guys where we discuss it. I want to do a show where we have, you know, first responders talk about these things anonymously, or you can tell us who you are. You can tell us what you've been through, but I want an outlet where, A, you know, first responders, sheepdogs, military, firefighter, paramedic, police officers, anybody that deals with these things on the reg, those are sacrifices. Dealing with human depravity, dealing with death, dealing with the worst of humanity, dealing with war, dealing with battle, dealing with tragedy, dealing with atrocity, dealing with those things isn't in itself a sacrifice. And we would like to do a show where we tell those stories to you anonymously, and anonymously for two reasons. One, it's easier to tell those stories to people that have been there and understand. And two, because sharing those stories with you guys as listeners is going to, I think, help clue you in as to the events and the altercations and the circumstances that military, police, firefighter, paramedic, EMT, that people like that deal with voluntarily so that you don't have to. And then hopefully the next time you see a vet or a cop or a firefighter or a paramedic and they're maybe having a bad day or they're going through some crap, you can say, you know what? I don't know what you've been through, but I've listened to enough to know what you have, what people like you have gone through on my behalf. And so if you, I totally understand. I'm not going to look at you weird or funky or judge you because you have inappropriate laughter at strange things that I look at you and go, what are you, sick? No. I've just seen way more shit than you can possibly imagine.
So I was reading a book this week, and to touch on that, I lost one of my brothers. I'm not going to name him on here, but I know exactly where you're at. I was reading a book this week called The Embarrassing Confessions of a Marine Lieutenant by Donnie O'Malley, and he goes through the whole gambit of Marine Corps infantry and what it's like to be a grunt in a combat zone and how dark and depraved Marines really get in a war zone.
Yeah.
And
anybody. I mean, granted, the closer you are to that line in the sand, the more depraved your behavior becomes.
And the gayer we get, for the record. And the gayer
we get. You know what? That's the amazing thing is people, I don't think they understand the camaraderie and the esprit de corps developed in those situations.
Oh, it's
creates huge. One of the most non-homosexual yet completely gay environments imaginable.
But it's funny that we're talking about this because at the very end of the book, he basically says, and this is his letter to Congress, that, you know, we spend a ton of money for spouses and families of veterans that are deployed, and they have a public affairs officer at every unit to take care of the families at home. But once you get out, see you later.
Right.
Go deal with the VA. And in reality, and what Donnie O'Malley's
talking
VA, about.
The VA, giving veterans a second opportunity to die for their country.
Yeah. Right. And what he's talking about is that the Department of Defense and the United States government actually needs to go through and create a alumni tab on everybody's website, linking you to the biggest social media in the world right now, which is Facebook. But if somebody takes them over, hopefully, because fuck you, Zuckerberg, linking all these people together by their combat deployments.
Right.
Because here's the thing is, as much as you and I and PA can relate because we've all been through shit, I can't relate to you as well as I can relate to Pops, right, from that previous experience.
No, exactly.
Story.
If you've been to Kandahar,
the
best people to relate to you are people that have been to Kandahar.
And not only that, but the people that were on that deployment with you.
Right. Yeah.
And, for example, the only reason I still have a Facebook at this point
is for those people.
Is because of my Marines. Because my immediate family, I still have contact with them. These other individuals, that's the only reason I still have one. Because if not, it would be gone at this point. And if there was some other way to link us together, I'd have deleted it a while ago.
Well, I'm going to give you two words. Easy Company. The men of Easy Company went through some of the most crazy shit imaginable as a combat unit can go through.
Yep.
Bastogne. Mm-hmm. Being surrounded. You know, the dropping in on D-Day behind enemy lines in the pitch black. Seeing some of the first concentration camps that allies had ever seen with their own eyes.
Yeah, we'd only heard about it. We didn't
right.
know.
And, and we had, it was all rumor and innuendo, but you see it and you don't know what it is or why it is there. You know, if you've never seen Band of Brothers, watch it. It's one of the most amazing feats of cinematic and television ever.
It's phenomenal.
But The
HBO.
Make
it easier for you. HBO.
The most amazing thing about it is a true story about the men of
Easy Company.
Easy Company. Yeah. And it is based off of Stephen Ambrose's book about those men. Those men, to this day, and God bless them, we're getting few and few every year.
They still
get together once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have a reunion. And they still have each other's back because they all shared an experience that no other person on the planet shared. And it's something you have to hold on to and something that you can't cry to other people, but you can cry to those men. You can't laugh to other people, but you can laugh to those men.
Yep.
And it's that cathartic sense of esprit de corps and brotherhood, the band of brothers, and that gets you through. To the point where if you read their story, there was one of them who fell off the wagon, I guess, or fell off the face of the earth. He was homeless. alcoholic, all these things, that terrible things that happened to vets. And when he didn't show up for their reunion, there was
looking for him.
Two or three of them that said, we're going looking for him. Yep. And they used their own money, flew out to where they last knew he was, started looking around, found him living on the street, cleaned him up, paid for him to get an apartment, helped him get a job, talked to him, nursed him back to health. And 20 years later, he made it through okay from being a homeless alcoholic because he couldn't deal with it by himself and they had to go get him. So it doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you weak to accept help. It makes you strong because you're willing to admit it. And it takes a big man to admit that he needs help. So I think we've dove down that hole pretty deep, and yeah. and for a comedy podcast, that's about as deep as we can get. But yeah. Vern Troyer, rest in peace, because you started this conversation. But
we got from Vern Troyer.
Well, because if Vern Troyer did commit suicide. Wow. It can't
small
have been that
things,
bad.
Small things.
It's the little things that get you. It was a very small rope. Okay. And then the last two. This one I did for Buster. Buster asked me to read this one. Bruno Sammartino.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. Pro wrestler Bruno Sammartino, 82 years, passed away. Anybody that grew up watching Hulk Hogan and all those guys in the 70s wrestling, 80s
wrestling.
That dude
wrestling, was a
Bruno
beast.
Sammartino was huge.
Hey, but you put him next to Andre the Giant, he looks like a fucking midget.
Anybody want a peanut? By the way, did you see the Andre the Giant documentary?
Yeah.
It's good, dude. But what I don't like is that it kind of glosses over how shitty the WWF treated its people and how a lot of the shit that his body went through. I mean, how he's, you know, waddling into the ring with back problems and knee problems and letting Hulk Hogan do all this shit to him. It was because the WWE used and abused its wrestlers, and I think they gloss over that a little bit, but whatever. So Bruno Sammartino, rest in peace, brother, 82 years old. And then fourth woman? We rarely do women because it's the Manstalgia podcast, but Barbara Bush,
first lady,
92 years old from COPD. Yeah. President Bush, our thoughts are with you because your wife was a great lady.
Well,
and a great first
lady.
He's
in the hospital right now, too.
Yeah, he's fighting off an infection. And most of the people that know the family know that he doesn't care anymore.
And that's, you know, it's always interesting when you have couples that have been together this long, regardless of this family their stature. But when they've been together for that long, it's always interesting. One goes, and then right after the other one goes.
He doesn't care to be here anymore. No. There's nothing left for him.
His partner's gone. Yeah.
So we just wanted to talk about her less because she was a great lady for our nation, a great lady for her family, and rest in peace, Mrs. Bush. Yep. So now,
I mean, seriously, how she was a first lady and then the first grandmother?
You're right.
Like,
yeah, it's pretty
very
cool.
Rare.
Yeah,
it's very rare.
It's pretty cool.
It's only happened once. you know, she created her own category.
No, I don't think it's only happened once. No. I think John Adams and John Quincy Adams.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you're correct.
John Adams' wife, and then his was the first lady, and then. Yeah. But I can't honestly say
she wasn't
during her son's presidency.
Was that
true?
Oh no, that's right.
But there was a father-son presidency before that. Okay, so the man topic tonight, as we close out the show, I wanted to talk about. Again, it's our gun episode. talk about politics, so we're going to try not to get political in this part of the discussion. And I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be hard. But we will talk about the difference in veterans' attitudes when it comes to this particular issue, which is I won't say gun control because it's not gun control. It's
gun control is using two hands.
People control. It's... you know, the right to keep and bear arms is something that I think every person, not just men, but every person
shall not be infringed.
Shall not have. Yeah. Yeah. So there was a video going around.
I know which one you're talking about.
I know you know which one.
Are we talking about this quote unquote army general?
Yeah.
No. We're talking about
full semi-automatic.
Veterans.
No, there's a few of them. It's not just
there
one.
It was a very well produced.
Yeah. No, he's talking about.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, it's the.
Did you watch it?
I don't think he did.
Stand by.
I don't know if it's the one you're referring to.
So you get the idea. So,
yes. Yes.
Now
the greatest
Pogue. I'm a veteran. Pogue. First, I want to address...
What is a Pogue?
A Pogue. This is a video produced by someone with some money.
George Soros.
Who decided to go digging through the pile of disgruntled veterans and find the ones that are so self-loathing.
No, not disgruntled veterans, because that's a group of individuals that are it's a page.
Okay.
Go to disgruntled veterans page. So don't tie them in.
All right.
Disgruntled veterans, shout out to you on Facebook. I love you, brothers.
Rah.
So shit's fucking hilarious.
Found some people that probably got drummed out on a psych
whiny bitches that never did shit.
Okay.
They might have even not made it past boot camp.
They're talking about how they carried the same weapon used in all the mass shootings in the military, which I highly doubt, because I have not heard of anybody using an M16 or an M4 for any of these mass shootings. I digress.
No.
The first thing is, the first thing he says is, Pog!
Yeah.
Now, I had heard somebody else call him Pogs, to which I said, oh, I had always heard Pogue.
It is Pogue.
It's Pogue.
Whatever.
Pogue. It is Pogue.
What is a Pogue?
P-O-G.
People. Personnel other than grunt.
Personnel are people other than grunt.
Pogue.
Okay, so what's a grunt?
Grunt is infantryman.
And then anybody else
Right. So here's the thing. So the grunts are a special breed of individual. And I give a huge shout out to grunts. No, they go because they carry like 500 pounds in their bag and go humping through the desert.
Right.
I give a mad shout out to grunts. But they're not the only combat individuals that are in the military.
That is very true. That is very true.
Okay, so a pogue is a derogatory term used by grunts
towards
anybody that's not a grunt.
Yes.
However, there are people that are combat
oriented
individuals that are not grunts.
Right.
Okay. All right.
For me, Forbes are a radio operator in the Marine Corps, right?
Uh-huh.
Combat individual. You get implanted with grunts, you go out with the grunts, you do everything the grunts do. You're just there because you know how to use a fucking radio.
Pogue.
But right.
But, I take it you were a grunt.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no,
I am a grunt.
Yeah, no, his MREs came with crayons for dessert.
First off, that purple one.
Wait, did you guys hear?
No, he's not black. He's not black.
I think that what's it in the Air Force they call it a rotary wing, in the Navy they call it a helo, in the Army they call it a chopper, and the Marine Corps they call it a
That's about right.
All right. So you crayon eating motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Even amongst yourselves, there's a little hierarchy because you're a radio man and you're a grunt. And Cartman thinks that PA was a pogue.
A
pogue is negative term.
It is. But here's the thing. Marine to Marine, I can talk shit to him.
Right.
Yes.
Anybody else? It's
fuck
like.
You.
Right. Exactly. It's like when somebody walks in and
it's
like
when someone picks on your little brother.
So yeah, that's my
job. Is pogue like the N-word? You can't use that word. Yes. Only we can use
that
word. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. I got
exactly
it.
What it's like.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So pogue is the N-word for the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the P word.
The
N-word.
The
P word.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So pogue is a negative term.
In the Marine Corps, everything revolves around the infantry. The Marine Corps' official casualty rating that is acceptable to them to complete a mission is 90%, right? So when we have a mission to complete, if 90% of our guys die, so to make
but
this...
But you win.
Yeah.
But to make this so that everybody understands, if you have 1,000 people go and 900 die...
It's a win.
That's a win.
But you have to take the objective.
Yes. You have to take the objective.
That's,
right.
That's
right?
The point.
If you take the objective with less than 91% casualty rate...
Yes.
It's a win. So everybody supports the infantry.
Yeah, right.
And that's why the Marine Corps is considered a, I'm not going to say special forces branch, but a special branch in itself, because our entire mission is to fight and kill the enemy, period. There's a reason the Marine Corps does not have a medical branch at all.
Right. You use Navy
Corps. We use Navy Corps.
Or as Obama likes to call them, corpsmen.
Fuck that guy.
Although that's about right. It's about right, Dick.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But they're...
We almost got political shit.
Ooh, it was close.
Dodged a bullet.
We skirted that one.
Like the fucking Matrix.
We are literally there to fight and kill the enemy.
Right.
Period.
And I want to say that one of my favorite aphorisms about the military is the point
of the military is not to die for your country. It's
to make the other guy die for his.
But I'll tell you what, if I'm going to die for mine, I'm going to take a whole bunch of you motherfuckers first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a pogue is a negative term used to describe a non-combat motherfucker.
Yep.
And in fact, I've heard, you know,
Non-combat. It's not non-combat. It's non-infantry.
Non-infantry.
Because
and I've heard like,
you have
donuts and Twinkies are used as pogey bait.
Pogey bait. Right? Well, any of the sweets in
any
here.
Any of the sweets is used as
pogey bait.
Okay.
Bait.
So, and infantry, for the record, loves
pogey bait.
Bait.
It's kind of funny.
Right. So a pogue is a derogatory term for somebody who is believed to be not as tough as the rest of the grunts.
Correct.
And so in calling all of these veterans, and I hate to denigrate any veterans, but I have to clear my throat when I call them veterans just because I hear them talking like that, and I have a hard time. I want to see their DD-214. I want to see the service record before I believe this commercial.
However, than honorable, maybe?
Do you guys agree with the basic sentiment of the commercial that civilian weapons are the same as military weapons?
No.
Military weapons are fucking horrible.
Horrible. Oh my God, they're so bad.
Made by the lowest bidder.
There is a reason that when you train with your weapon, you go, you hear kids run around and go, pew, pew, bang, 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 bang. Yeah, we go, butta-butta-jam.
Right. No, or it's
you can tell
jam,
the
jam,
you
jam,
can tell
jam,
the veterans
jam,
kid on
fuck,
the playground
shit,
because
butter,
he's going
jam 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 butter jam
crap
yeah
but oh crap
yeah
but shit
yeah
chiclick it chiclick yeah chiclick
yeah
yeah
yeah,
yeah. Tap rack bang no
yeah
okay so aside from the fact that military weapons are used and abused to the point of being put into POS mode
let me break it down. Military weapons have the capability to go 3-round burst, fully automatic.
Right.
Right?
Okay. For the people that don't understand, a burst or an automatic is with one
trigger
squeeze
pull. Yeah, one trigger
of
pull.
The trigger, one activation of the button, which is the trigger. The trigger is the activation button on a firearm. With one press of that activator,
it goes,
you get
bang,
multiple
bang, bang.
Rounds, yes. Which you either get
three round burst, there's two.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just speaking in general. I actually carried a firearm that was capable of a 2-round burst.
That's right.
I then carried a firearm that was capable of a 3-round burst, also called
the
Navy
military.
Trigger. And this was a Navy trigger group that was put onto a law enforcement weapon.
It was a 3-round burst, not a 2-round burst.
I just said that, you dink. And then you have full automatic, which is as long as you're holding that sumbitch down, shit's going to come out the business end.
Yes.
Until you run out. Rounds in your magazine, not a clip.
Correct.
Unless it's an number grand, they use clips.
Freaking God.
Moving on.
De Leon.
Anyway.
So the civilian weapons for a long time, okay? For a long time, civilians have been banned from owning anything.
1930s.
That is fully automatic. So
1930s.
The National Firearms Act, I believe, right?
1930s.
So the days of civilians owning Thompson submachine guns.
You can't say you can. The problem is in order to do it, you have to have a Class 3 license.
Right.
With a federal tax stamp.
Right. Yeah. So what is the process to get that? Oh my God!
Yeah.
My left testicle plus my first and second born.
Right. So the odds of somebody who wants to do nefarious things with a firearm actually going through the process to legally own said firearm is slim and none, and slim just left town.
Yeah, exactly.
So anybody who wants to do something nefarious with a fully automatic firearm is usually going to illegally modify it or gain it illegally. So we got that. So the difference between a military firearm and a civilian firearm, looks aside, is the functionality of the weapon, correct?
I can make my RAM look like an F-18. It doesn't mean it functions the same fucking way.
Well.
Yes, true.
But that's the thing. Like, you can make a computer. You can put a housing on a computer that makes it look like an NSA freaking hacking, processing, wiretapping motherfucker. And it's still just a gateway.
It's my new Surface Pro.
Right. It's how it functions, not what it looks like.
Exactly.
I have seen what I thought was a Ferrari, and it turns out it's a fiberglass Fiero. Kit on a Fiero. And yeah. And did I say that right?
Yeah.
Fiero.
It's a Ferraro. Yeah, they call it Ferraro.
Yeah, and they have Lamborghinis that go on RX-7s. Yeah. So it really matters what's under the hood, not what the paint goes on.
I literally just had this conversation with my librarians.
Okay, because you go to school and
yeah.
The librarians.
So
were
yeah, so I was a paramedic for 10 years, and then decided, hey, I'm gonna go back to school and further my medical knowledge and become an RN with a bachelor's of science in nursing. And going back to college at 37 years old, holy balls! So I'm old. Yeah, I'm old. Jeez. So I walk. I'm walking.
That's why we know the rules to Ballgazer.
Uh huh.
Dick.
So I walk into school. I'm walking into school, and the librarians are out front with signs. One of them's holding a sign that's got a bunch of crayons on it and a bullet, and it says, "Bullets are not school supplies." And the other one's holding a sign that says, "Librarians for gun control."
It is if you're in infantry school.
Yeah, right?
A lot of them.
So, just saying, it's all relative. Einstein proved that.
So I had to talk to them, and I was like, okay. I'm like, what is it exactly that you guys are here for? And they said, "Well, we just think that you know there something needs to happen." And I hate it when people try and justify their point of view by saying, "I was around guns when I was little." Like, I don't care if you don't know anything about them. It doesn't mean the fact that you were around them and had them around you when you were little just means that your parents were shitty and didn't teach you anything while you were growing up. So
it's such a true conclusion. Go ahead.
So I'm sitting there. I'm like, what is it exactly that you're looking for? And the first thing. And it's always the first thing that comes out of their freaking mouths is, I just think that we should have universal background checks. And I'm like, guess what, Dick? They're already in place. Right. You cannot purchase a firearm without going through a background check that goes through the FBI and the DOJ. It already is in place. It's there. Now, understand, these are individuals that I have seen in the last four of my four classes. They've been in every single class, spouting off about how they have a master's degree in research. They didn't bother to do any research
They know the deal. Exactly. So you don't agree with the sentiments expressed by the veterans in that commercial? One of them asserts that it's the same gun, that the gun used
it's
in all
not
these
the same gun.
Okay, so it's not,
not even a little bit.
So then if we're talking about an AR, and I want to educate
AR,
our listeners.
Armalite rifle.
Armalite is a company.
Yeah.
And rifle
who originally designed
right. Yeah. The so rifle. The reason it's
it
called
does the, not mean assault
yeah.
rifle.
The reason
it
it's called an AR-15.
Armalite
yeah.
Rifle.
The reason it's called an AR-15 is the 15th iteration of their Armalite rifle. That is an AR-15. It does not mean automatic rifle shoots 15 rounds with one trigger pull. That's not what it freaking means. I can't believe I actually have to say that. Somebody actually said it on freaking YouTube. I lost my shit.
Well, it's the Colt 1911. The Colt 45 semi-automatic single stack pistol was invented
in
and adopted in 1911.
Yeah.
So,
or the
it is the
AK-47.
Right.
Someone actually, I swear to God, I saw this. No, someone actually put this out. I swear to God, I saw this. It says automatic killer 47 way deadlier than the AR-15. It shoots 47 bullets with one trigger pull instead of
15. But please explain, what is AK?
Anatoly Kalashnikov 47. It is his 47th iteration of his design.
Which, by the way, is one of the best weapon systems ever made.
Well, that's why everybody uses it. So many people.
It is the $3 whore. Of machine gun.
It
you
is.
You can drop it in
the
mud.
Corner
and
hooker.
Just...
Now, it's you know, if you want a superior platform, the U.S. military platform based on the AR-15 development and then translated into the military version, which is M16, originally, not a superior platform.
No.
Now, it has become a much better platform.
Even now, there are much better platforms out there. And I can tell
no,
you
no,
right
no,
now.
I mean the SCAR
that. But
and...
even just an AR, like the military version uses a gas impingement tube. There is now a piston impingement.
Yeah, gas piston.
No. There's gas, and then there's now a piston. It completed.
We're
no
deep
gas
in the woods.
Yeah.
We're gonna get away from.
Okay. This. Anyway, moving on. But yes, no. So the military, the military weapons are they always go to the lowest bidder. So if you want to go by standards, civilian weapons regardless of whether they're a handgun or they're the they're a rifle. And I say rifle, not assault rifle, because assault is a verb, not an adjective.
Right.
Verb is what you do. Adjective is a descriptive.
Well,
word.
I'll give them this. Okay,
for those that don't understand the English language,
there's a breaching shotgun, right? It is a shotgun designed for the express purposes.
Negative. It is a shotgun with breaching rounds.
Time out. There are shotguns that have furniture on them and rounds in them that make them purpose built for the task of breaching, but you can use it for whatever you want, and it is only a breaching shotgun when you are actually breaching with it.
Yes.
For example, you put birdshot in a shotgun, and you shoot a person. It is now person shot.
You have a pissed off person.
Yeah, it is right. Hilarious. Right. That's what it is.
It is not birdshot anymore. It's now it is called birdshot because that was its intended use.
I highly recommend that anyone that has a shotgun for home defense,
rock salt.
Their very first round should be birdshot. Their second shot should be bugshot, and their third shot should be a slug. Just saying.
Make sure you use all three rounds.
I'm going to tell you right now, I keep a shotgun in the house if I had one. If I owned a shotgun, I would keep one in the house for home defense, and I would not keep one in the tube because I would tell my wife, you need to rack the shotgun when you hear somebody in the house.
Because
if they hear sound, then whatever happens next, they deserve.
They've been warned. Yeah, they've been warned.
I completely disagree. They shouldn't get a warning.
No.
I'm fine with a warning.
I'm okay with warning them.
No, because then you miss out on your CONUS kill.
But see, here's the thing. I'm fine with my wife not having to kill somebody. I don't want that burden on her. I don't want that burden on her.
Yeah.
But let me tell you,
she's like, I don't want it.
I'm like, I want to sneak it. I'm like, no. Just give
him
a chance to get away.
But
just be fair.
No.
Give him a sporting chance.
Hey, Fletch, but that's the difference.
Right.
That's the difference.
Right.
Those that have no desire to.
Right.
Like, you would not put that on.
Well, that's not entirely true.
Okay. There's
because
a purpose.
My wife will tell me, and I have, okay? I have been there. I have done that.
I know.
And my wife will tell me.
We don't know. I know.
Right. My wife will tell me, you need to lock the door. And I'm like, okay, I know I need to lock the door. But there's part of me going, but I kind of dare you. I kind of dare you.
Come on for me, it's like, I don't have a qualms.
Right.
It's like you make that mistake.
Oh no, I'm not looking forward to it.
I have a two-story house. And that's by tactical design because A, I have the high ground.
Right.
And B, it gives me time to throw that warning out. Like, hey,
fatal funnel.
Just so you know,
there's only one way up here.
Yeah, just so you know.
You have to go through it to get to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just so you know, I'm ready.
Mhm.
You have 3 seconds to exit. Otherwise,
you have 5 seconds to comply.
But it's like having the high ground, and because of the way that most things are, most houses are made now, you have that little like over the top. It's like, hey, I have you in the stairs. That's why I said birdshot. if I owned a shotgun, that's where it would go.
If you owned a shotgun,
yeah, in the stairwell, it'd just be over the top.
Right.
But I have no desire to. If I have to, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to flinch, and I'll sleep that night. No problems, like a baby. Do I want to?
I have to do something about the ringing in my ears, but I'll be good.
Yeah. I'm already deaf, so I'm not worried about it.
You ask a sniper what they feel when they have to kill somebody, and they
the
say
recoil.
Yeah.
That's anyone in the military.
Yeah. Is there? Here's another argument. Is there a reason? Because they always say, you don't need that gun.
I don't need a reason. I don't need a.
Okay,
anything.
So let's forget.
I have
okay,
the right
but
to.
Hold on. Let's forget the rights for
okay.
a second.
Going off a reason.
Imagine the law said you have to have a reason to own that.
Okay. This is very simple, right?
So what's the reason?
A rifle compared to a handgun is more accurate to avoid collateral damage.
Right.
I want to be as accurate as humanly possible, which
right.
you are way more accurate. As a human, because humans error, you're way more accurate as a human with a rifle than you are with a pistol. And my wife, if I want her to defend herself, I'm going to say.
Well, I'll give you another reason.
It depends on the tactical situation. I'm not going to completely agree with that.
But I'll give you another reason. Okay. If you're let's say it's not for hunting, because yes, you can use an AR-15 223 or an AR-10 308. You can use that for hunting purposes. I wouldn't recommend it.
I would not recommend using a 223 for anything other than rabbit.
Right.
Yep.
But therein lies my point. So the 223, which is the typical AR-15
or
5.56, depending on what system of measurement you want to use. Mm-hmm. And for those of you wondering, 5.56 is metric and 223 is English. Yeah. And English is the one that got us to the moon! Anyway.
And won how many world wars?
Yeah.
I think it was two.
We are back-to-back World War champs.
We
I'm
are.
Just saying.
I'm just waiting. You know the problem?
I want that shirt.
I'm waiting
Grunt
for...
Grunt Style, if you're listening, just
make a back-to-back
out.
World War II
champ. No, they have it.
Oh, they do?
They have it. Grunt Style, if you're listening and you want...
We would love to rock that.
Here's my problem is I would also love a World War III championship, but at the same time, a Civil War II championship.
Oh, yeah. Well, wouldn't mind
Snowflakes
that.
Versus everyone else.
So, yeah, here's the thing.
We're coming for your guns with our dildos and pussy hats.
Good luck with that. See, that's the same kind of logic as the people that say, I don't need to be a prepper. I'll just go after you because you're a prepper. Here's the thing.
I'm ready
for
you.
We prep for the earthquake. We prep for the fire. We prep for the riot. And we prep for the thief.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi is straight up like, if they don't want to surrender their guns, I will come and take them personally. And
no long
I'm just
labe.
Like, I'm straight up like Doc, like yeah. Doc Holliday. I'm your Huckleberry.
So here's the thing. Home defense. Let's talk about home defense for a second.
All right.
The 223.
Mm-hmm.
It's a glorified 22. It really is.
It really
it's
is.
A glorified
slightly
22.
Slightly bigger than a 22.
It's .003 bigger.
Yeah.
Okay, Cartman, there's a reason that we went to Hollow Point 5.56 overseas.
Not disagreeing with you.
Right. Now, if you take a 9mm, okay, 9mm round,
mm-hmm.
a regular 9mm round, not subsonic or anything like that, a regular 9mm round, especially a round nose, not a hollow point,
mm-hmm.
and you use that for home defense. It may come out of a 4 or 5 inch barrel, Beretta, Glock, whatever. You shoot that, you miss, it goes through drywall. It can mm-hmm. go through two sheets of drywall,
mm-hmm.
hit the kid in the next room,
yep.
and kill them.
Exactly.
But a 223 is so light and so fast that typically when it hits the first piece of drywall, it's going to start to tumble, lose some accuracy, lose some velocity, and won't over-penetrate. Now, you take one versus the other. Which one would you rather fire in an enclosed environment where you could potentially over-penetrate and hit something you don't want to hit?
Absolutely.
I would take the one that when it hits what it's supposed to hit, it does what it needs to do and goes bye-bye. Versus the one that says, I'm going to hit this. I'm going to hit what's behind it. I'm going to hit what's behind that. I mean, it's like Johnny Dangerously. It's an .88 Magnum. It shoots through schools. You know what I'm saying?
So here's my issue with what PA said about the 223 versus a handgun. Because I completely agree with what you're saying. This is my issue. Being in California, you can't have an SBR.
Short-barreled rifle,
and,
for those of you playing at home.
And if you're trying to do a tactical scenario, you want an SBR.
Correct.
You want
the
that
shorter
weapon,
the barrel.
The shorter the barrel.
The slower the round, and therefore... The less velocity you have, the less chance you have for over-penetration.
I'm not even going there. You've gone way further down the road than I'm already talking about.
All right, go ahead.
I'm talking clearing corners.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
Right? If you've got to... Let's take a stairwell, for example. If you've got to clear a stairwell, most people in a house live upstairs.
Yes.
If you're going to clear a stairwell going downstairs, the shorter your barrel is... The less you have to expose yourself.
That's true.
Clearing the stairwell.
Most people, now granted, most people don't consider those kinds of tactical issues. They don't understand that when you come around a corner, a longer rifle or a longer gun goes around the corner before you do. Now,
even if you're pieing,
I'm actually happy with
and
that.
And taking distance.
Because that means that 9 times out of 10, or probably 99 times out of 100, I have the tactical advantage against whoever has a firearm. Because if they don't understand that the muzzle breaks the plane of the door or the wall or the stairs before they do, they're done.
Agreed.
They're done.
Completely agree.
So I understand
that. As the other side of that, I want that SBR. So when I'm going
that's
around,
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it, on the hunter mindset, you want the shorter barrel because you want to keep it close. You don't want to give away your position.
But in California, the bad guy is just going to saw the end of his barrel off and be like, I don't care.
And that's the other argument.
Or they're going to cut their AR in half.
They're going to make a very, very illegal weapon.
God bless you women who are destroying AR-15s on the internet for the sake of making a public statement and don't realize how many fucking laws you're violating.
By the way, camera. We need to give them a P.O. box. Anybody, if you would like to mail us your weapon systems
we
to
will
destroy
them
for
you,
we will make sure that they are dealt with properly.
We will rehome your firearms.
No. We'll destroy if you're a snowflake, we will destroy them. Please send it to us with
a note.
No,
I'm a liar. I'm going to rehome it.
Write that time down. If you're a snowflake and you would like it destroyed, please mail it to us at, you're going to insert a P.O. box there.
Yeah.
And we will make sure that it is destroyed properly.
Now, here's the thing.
By destroyed, it is now a burner gun.
Right. Yeah, we destroyed it. Well, who's it registered to? Not me. I don't give a fuck.
They ain't my fucking problem.
So, now we get... What? Yeah, we're getting that. So, we have decided that you don't necessarily need... Right, but it's not about need. It's about, and I'll go back to, the argument is the Second Amendment applies to muskets because that's when it was written. Okay, fine.
Okay,
then the First Amendment
doesn't apply to Facebook, Twitter, the internet, the radio, but doesn't apply to podcasts.
Even then, so
hold on, let me finish. So if we're going by that rationale,
okay,
the Fourth Amendment also doesn't apply to wiretapping. Doesn't apply to searching emails.
Yeah.
Doesn't apply to GPS locators.
How about the TSA's new lovely scanning system?
Sure. So we can understand and extrapolate the logical, technological extension of those amendment rights with the exception of the Second Amendment? I don't think so. Now, go ahead.
So the common argument that I hear is the Second Amendment was never intended for civilians to have military-grade weapons.
Bullshit.
That's where I'm going with this.
Right.
They're like they didn't intend for fully automatic weapons.
Well, they didn't.
Again, no, they did because
some of them early prototype
Gatling guns.
Anybody could own it. They
were owned by civilians. They were owned by civilians. That's it was a civilian militia.
So here's the thing:
In 1776,
the Minutemen had in their closet every single one of them had in their closet. A Kentucky rifle or the equivalent at the time.
Of an M16.
Which was the exact same thing that the British were carrying and were trying to take away from them at the time. Yep. So, yeah, every single civilian was armed with the exact same thing
as
that the military was at that time.
Including cannons. Fully automatic Gatling guns.
Oh, you have a ship? You're a sailor and you have a ship and you transport cargo from Massachusetts down to Virginia and back. And you have what on your boat?
Cannons.
Ladies and gentlemen, cannons. Yeah, I'm just saying. Which, hey, I'll be glad to put turrets on my house.
I would also love, if anybody has a cannon that they do not want,
I have cannons at work if you ever want to.
Yes.
I keep telling you, come on down.
Yeah, we need to go to the armory.
But, okay, so.
We need to go to the
armory. Can I make you go pew, pew, pew?
What is the difference between the AR versus the M? So you have the AR-15 versus the M16 or the M4.
Okay, so.
What is the real difference?
Okay.
I mean, we've discussed that one's the functionality.
Right. So AR, we discussed, was Armalite Rifle 15. Right. The M, now understand that there's two designations. There's M and Mark, right? There's the M16, the M4.
You don't have to get into the weeds. What's the M?
The M stands for model.
Okay.
That's literally it. It is just a shortening of model.
Right.
And MK is Mark.
Right.
It's like, it just means that it originated in the Navy, and it is the same thing. It is a designator.
Right.
Just number.
So,
hey, this is the third one that we went through. This is the fifth one that we went to. So, like, they had the M16A1, the M16A2, right?
And the M16A3.
3 and the M4A1.
And the Super Tomcat right. so, okay, D. And moving, right. yeah. You're in the weeds.
So, okay, so all it means is that it's the first adaptation, right. the second adaptation. That's all it is. All it's designating is, hey, this is the first one we tried. Oh, we modified this one once. Hey, this is the second one we tried. Oh, we modified this one twice. Yeah. This is the second time we've modified the same platform. That's all it means.
And there's so many companies.
And then it's the same platform, and it's been adopted this time. Right. Now it's been adopted this time yeah. and this time.
So here's the thing. I compare it to motors, right? You have so many companies out there that will make small block 350s because the small block 350 is an amazing engine platform. It goes with so many things. It bolts into so many things. It's such a great design. The small block 350 is one of the greatest V8 engines for muscle cars, for trucks, period, right? So many, many people have taken that design and built their own version of it with different materials, different options, different intakes and sizes and this and that. The AR-15 or the, in the military, M16 M4. That platform, and when we say platform, we mean that like we're talking about the 350 small block is a platform. Many, many people may make that engine, but they're all making it the same, so they can kind of, it's like Lego. They just, the pieces interact with each other and you're good to go. It's a design system. So for example, there's a company, Palmetto State Firearms, Palmetto yep. State Armory.
PSA.
They're a small
make
company.
Great parts.
And they can interchange with Colt and Bushmaster and all these other things because it's all made to the same basic design.
Shout out to PSA. I actually switched out a PSA trigger system into my M4 when I was in Iraq. So,
well, there you go. So you've got at least one warfighter who actually used PSA equipment in country. And I'll tell you what, I'm not saying I own anything from PSA. But if I did, I'd be really happy with it. So,
well, I can tell you, right,
so, you know,
it covered my ass.
Right. So basically, I think what I'm getting to with this man topic is you got to understand that a firearm, as I've taught my kids, is a tool like anything else. There's a circular saw. Mm-hmm. You can get a Milwaukee circular saw. You can get a skill circular saw. You can get a worm drive. You can get a cordless. You can get a corded. You can get so many of these things. But it's all the same principle, which is an electric motor rotates a blade between 6, 8, 10 inches. You can tip it with different things. You can put the tips of the blades with different things. You can sharpen it different ways. You can adjust the speeds. You can adjust the guides. You can adjust what the saw is made out of. But ultimately, it is a tool that does the same basic function.
And if that tool is going to be used against me, I would rather it be an AR rather than a circular saw. I'm just
but
saying.
That's my point is that there's nothing that says you can't take a circular saw and run it right over somebody's chest.
Somebody once asked me, where would you want to go if, you know, shit went down and you had to go hunker down
like zombie apocalypse,
right.
Bunker.
And they're like, oh, dude, I do a gun store. I go to, you know, they named Oak Tree Gun Club. I'm like, I'm going to go to fucking Home Depot.
Yeah, right.
I'm being serious. Like, yeah. They're like, why would you go to Home Depot? I'm like, have you ever been to fucking Home Depot? Like,
you know how many explosives I can make at Home Depot?
I could fuck people up with Home Depot.
Right.
I'm going to make guns out of nail guns.
Oh yeah. So
I'm not running out of ammo anytime soon.
It's the user. It's the hands of the person. It's, to use a small dick metaphor, it's not the wand. It's the magician who wields it. You know, and I as far as I'm concerned, this whole debate is pointless until we acknowledge that it's not the tool. It's the heart of the person holding it.
Right. And the problem is that they don't want to acknowledge that. No. They just want, they're like, we take away the guns.
No, because we're in a society where nothing is anybody's fault.
Exactly.
It's, and I can get into so many different chapter and verses, but yeah. If it's not, if you were born that way, and or if you can't control it, or if you're, if somebody did that to you, or if you, you know, this is just biology,
excuses,
all these different things
are like assholes. Everyone's got one. They all stink.
But if you have, if you can chalk any of your aberrant behaviors up to born this way, or I have no choice, or it's genetics, or it's biology, then you're not responsible for anything you do that's a quote-unquote aberrant behavior. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to get into whether it is biological or not, but I am going to say that there's a lot of shit people chalk up to biological that you got no proof.
No.
First of all.
Yeah.
And second of all, just because you're wired that way, serial killers. We have done several studies into serial killers, and we know they're wired differently.
Yep.
But we still lock them up for killing motherfuckers because, regardless of how you're wired, you're still responsible for what you do. So it's not the knife's fault. It's not the rope's fault. It's not the Volkswagen. Hey, did we ban Volkswagen bugs because of Ted Bundy? No. You know.
Should we be banning teenagers from their cell phones from the amount of people that they kill every year while they're driving?
Should Canada start banning V8 motors because a van just mowed over a bunch of people?
Right?
No. It's a heart problem. It's not a gun problem. That's
100%.
100%.
That's not politics. That's just human being.
By the
nature.
Way, more hammers kill people every year still than firearms.
Yeah.
Exactly. In the United States.
So,
or knives.
Yeah. Or knives.
Yeah. So we take away the guns, next will be the knives, just like, you know.
London.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So what did we learn tonight, gentlemen? We learned the
Cartman.
There are three acceptable.
Drank way too much before he started the podcast.
But you know, he kind of sobered up a little bit.
A little bit towards the end.
You got better. He stopped drinking. Did get better.
Well, yeah, because I want to go to sleep.
The room started spinning. Right.
No, hey, put your foot on the floor.
Oh, there you go.
You know that? If you're laying down, the room spins. Hang your leg off the bed, put your foot on the floor, stop spinning.
My bed's on like you put the riser in.
You're hitting the brakes.
If I gotta put my foot on the floor, I'm gonna fall off.
Right. And those are short legs. So, all right. So for Crew Jones, the only three official rules we can agree on are: it has to be the OK symbol inverted in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. It has to be below your waist. And if you look, you get punched. That's basically it. The rest is house rules.
Yeah.
And everybody has to agree on them. If you cannot agree on them, then. Oh, also, I think we didn't discuss this, but we should add up. If somebody looks at that symbol and they go, what is that? They are not eligible.
No, that is true.
Not eligible to be hit.
But once you're in.
But once you have it explained
to you.
There's
no getting jumped out.
And you're even nicer than me. Because I just say, if you look at it, I get to punch you. And that's it.
No,
you're in.
So my rule, what I generally do is I look at them dead in the eyes and I say, are you sure you want to know? Because once you're in,
that's it.
You're in.
Right.
And often I get the, well, I want to know, but I know you.
You're right.
So.
You're a sick bastard. So those are our three official rules. OK symbol, below the waist, you look, you get hit. The rest of it's house rules. And if you want to call it, you want to call it the circle game, fine. To me, the circle game was putting a piece of toast in the middle of a bunch of dudes and y'all do something gross until the last person has to
eat it.
And
yeah,
that's why you never call it the circle game.
Why am I not surprised that that's your circle game?
Just telling you. Hey, you should next episode. You guys, if Mugshot and Fuzzy are on, ask them about Elephant Tales.
Oh, Elephant Tales.
Elephant Tales.
All right.
I'm just saying you don't want to play that game either. What else did we learn? We learned that you should never allow a lucky outcome to justify your shitty plan.
Speaking of, we need to get like a sit around and have a big. Like everybody from the podcast.
That would be just insane.
Right? That would be awesome.
I do actually want to plan a Manstalgia camping trip. And we'll bring the microphones.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll set the microphones up and we'll just.
Wait, didn't I just invite him to my birthday getaway that got postponed?
Yes. We'll talk about that in the next book.
What else did we learn? We learned that Yeti does not understand their demographic whatsoever.
Not at all. Not even close.
Not even
whatsoever. A little bit. Yeah, no. If you really think that millennials and snowflakes are buying your coolers, no. They think that everything should be handed to them for free.
They're not buying your $400 fucking coolers, you morons.
Yeah, they're busy paying off their jobs. They're busy paying off their student loans.
Their student loans from their unemployment checks.
We learned that you can get thrown physically thrown out of a bar, but if you do it cool enough, you can maintain your dignity. And Cholo Fit is a real thing.
Yep.
Shout out to Cholo Fit. Let's see. We learned that Cartman does not know who Harry Anderson is. And that's a shame. You should go watch Night Court. It's actually really funny.
You are Dan Fielding.
Dan Fielding.
Okay, so here's the thing. Is that it's probably... fuck you.
Actually, no. He could be an attorney if he wanted to.
I don't doubt it. He's a good bullshit.
Yeah, he can bullshit like the best of them.
And you like to argue. Yeah. And that's like the whole point of an attorney.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
You're right, exactly.
go watch here's Night Court. Here's my issue. There's so many good shows. Do I have time to add another one in? And
all you gotta do is YouTube Night Court and watch 5 minutes of it.
Yeah, you literally watch one episode. You understand.
Okay, I'll do that, but I can't watch a whole fucking series.
I'm not asking.
I've got books to read and shows to watch. Just and
one YouTube episode. Night Court. One episode. And not even one episode. Just YouTube Night Court. Minutes, best moments. Or YouTube Dan Fielding.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Literally. Okay. We say goodbye to Barbara Bush and Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah.
Who both tough as nails in totally different ways.
By the way, I'm forecasting, and I'm sorry to do this, but George... Walker Bush.
I know. He'll be on the next episode, is my guess.
Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
That's what I think he's going to be on.
And then we also learned what a pogue is. Yep. Person.
Other
than grunt.
Because you're not loud.
And then we learned that AR stands for Armalite Rifle, not Assault Rifle. So it's like an engine. It's like a saw. It's a tool. It's how you use it. So, closing things out, any final thoughts, Carmen?
Nope.
Okay. PA?
He's so drunk.
I know, right? That for this guy to have nothing to say,
yeah,
you know that
he's wasted.
You are what we call HBD and what PA calls ETOH.
Yeah. Anyway.
What?
Don't worry about
exactly.
it. All our sheepdogs listening and all our paramedics listening are giggling their asses off, and the rest of you are Googling it
now.
HBD and ETOH.
Yeah, and he's staring at us with these sinister eyes of, I'm going to
fuck you
up.
Guys. learned that the Palmetto State Armory makes a nice product, too, by the way.
Hey, Palmetto, thank you for keeping me safe in Iraq.
Yes.
What
do you have?
All right, I got two things.
Okay.
Two things.
He's always got two things.
So the other thing that I wanted to throw out there was for the listeners, since we're considering doing this sheepdog episode, I would love to hear your thoughts on email. So if you guys can get back to us.
Mansdalesmail@gmail.com. Please. Even if you have a story or you want to hear a story, let us know. Or
like, and look, your location doesn't matter.
Hey, PA,
please, for the love of
God, do not host this freaking episode.
All right. Once again, you can always reach us at on Twitter, at MansdalesPod, on Instagram, at Mansdalesia, Facebook.com/Mansdalesia, and on email, nostalgiamail@gmail.com. Send us your love mail, your hate mail, or just like your pictures.
What was your name again?
Send nudes.
But if you
female nudes. We're going to clarify. Female nudes. Female nudes.
Methinks that Bill protests too much.
I might send you a dick pic just to fuck with you.
In the meantime, we want to thank Cat Audio for providing us with great equipment. As always, I like to say, if we sound like shit, it's not Cat Audio.
It's not us.
We just sound like shit. And then Actual Tour, our listener Scott Curtis and his business Actual Tour.
Hey, Scott.
And Actual Tour Reno and Actual Tour Austin. In the meantime, we want to remind you, as always, you're a man.
Act like one.
You bitch.